I've got a picture and the title of the preach you see there at the back. Who knows who that guy is? For the guys that were born after 2000, that guy is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he was the guy that made a lot of movies in the 80s and the 90s, action heroes, but he predominantly got onto the mat because he was a bodybuilder. And so he won a bunch of Mr. Universe competitions for bodybuilding and that type of thing. But he wrote a book about himself and about his life. And in that book, there was a chapter that revolved around his legs. And he spoke about his legs. And what Arnold had is he had this amazing upper body. He was really strong in his upper body. And his muscles, and he was just big guns and all of that. But his legs was kind of like my legs, you know, skinny. And what he used to do is, back in the day, when he was starting to buff up, or what do you call it these days? And so what he did is, he used to hide his legs. He would train his legs, but it's almost as if his legs didn't keep up with the rest of the body. And so what he would do, he would hide it. And one day he realized, listen, I can either hide my legs, or I can use my legs as a motivation to work them harder. And what he did is he cut off all of his trousers, and so he can reveal his skinny legs or whatever it was. I don't know, probably not skinny. I mean, his legs at that time was probably thicker than I am. But for him, it was skinny, you know, in contrast to the rest of his body. And he used it as a motivation for him to work harder. And so he would train extra hard on his legs. He would do a leg session before he starts, and then after he starts, he will double it up. And that's why the title of this thing is Don't Skip Leg Day. It's a saying that he developed from that. Linka, my daughter, she participated in the Western Cape gymnastics, and she is an aspiring gymnast, and she wants to go places with her gymnastics. And she loves floor routines, you know, where they do the somersaults and that wild thing. She loves that. And so whenever I see her in the backyard, she's doing somersaults, and, you know, we just worry that she's going to break her neck at some day, but she's going on her own thing. And I ask her this often, I say, Linka, what is the one thing that you hate the most? And she said, it's conditioning. It's conditioning. She hates conditioning. It's not as exciting. It is not as, it's just, you have to do work, and you have to go practice and stretch and work your muscles. She hates conditioning. And that's leg day, you know? That's sometimes when we have to work on certain muscles that we don't like working and using as much as the other ones. And Paul writes about us in training, and I love this. I'm going to go two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9. Look at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Are we in training? As Christians and as followers of Christ, we're in training. So he says, we go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So he's talking about practical, that they're in training and they're doing physical work, but actually he's talking about the spiritual, isn't he? And he's actually talking about the spiritual, a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. And so we are in training, and we are ever in training, or forever in training, until the day that Jesus will come to fetch us again, or until the day. Richard Gordon preached, you know who Richard is, then. He preached this morning about why am I a Christian. And he made, and I want to just quickly share something that he shared about that this morning. He said that when we grow up, for basically 21 years, when you're in school, from the age of, what is it these days, 5 or 6, you go to school, and then for 12 years you're in school, and you train in school, you have mathematics and whatever the subjects is that you have, and accounting, but you train, you learn how to speak and how to do math and all of that. And then after that, you will go to university if you have that opportunity, and you will continue your training. But for what? To get a job. That's the end of that. That's the goal. That's the hope that you are training. And so for about 21 years, sometimes longer, depending on what you're training for, but about 21 years, you are training to get that job. He asks us this question: what is the most important time, moment in your life? Is it when you get your job? Is it when you get married? Kid gets born? Richard said this. He says, the most important moment in your life is that moment when you blow out your last breath. You're about to meet Jesus. He asks us this question: how well are you training today for that moment? Because we train for a lot of things, but how well do we train for that eternity that Paul is speaking about in Corinthians? He goes on. He speaks to in 2 Timothy 3. Now he's speaking to, writing a letter to Timothy. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for good work. You see, and this is just an example of how do we train. And he uses the example of scripture. Scripture is there to train us, because as we go through scripture, as we read scripture, we learn about the character, we learn about the heart of God, we learn about how does God work with people, because we read all of those stories in the Bible, and it's a place where we train ourselves to learn about God. Now, don't skip leg day, yeah? That's where we started, and we're going to go back to don't skip leg day. Some muscles are more fun to train than others. Is that true?
Yeah?
It's true. I, for instance, I love preaching. What I'm doing at the moment, I love that. I love going to the Lord, getting a word from Him, Him breaking open a piece of scripture. And for me, it's like light bulb moments, because I normally learn these things first. This specific preach is a 6 months in training, and I'm going to speak about that just now. So he teaches me these things first, and then I get to share it with other people. I mean, what's not to like about that? And so I love preaching, but it didn't come on its own. I had to do some training. Back in the day, we had, I don't know if it was in your time, but we had Preachers Club. Andre, you remember Preachers Club that were Joe Wagner in Durbanville? The Preachers Club. And so every Saturday, we would go to Preachers Club, and we would be trained and equipped and work those muscles in order to, and that was less exciting than this. I remember I had this famous 7 rewrites. One preach, but it was a few years ago. And there was this one preach that I just couldn't get down. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and I wrote it over. And He woke me up the following morning, and about 7 times I rewrote the same preach until I finally ended. And it was training. It was training, and it wasn't like that this morning. With this preach, I rewrote this one as well. I had a different preach yesterday on the same topic, but just a completely different angle. And I realized, no, this is not the way that the Lord wants to bring it. And this morning at 5:30, He woke me up, and I rewrote the whole thing. Now that is not like, that's not like a muscle to train. It's not as like as preaching, but it has to be done. It needs to be done. It's important. I love the prophetic. That's my gift, my primary gift. I love hearing from the Lord, seeing pictures, and then coming to someone and seeing Jesus impact that person as you share from God's heart to that person. Who's ever had that opportunity? It's amazing, isn't it? When you see, oh my goodness, whatever has just come out of my mouth just impacted this person. For me, that's beautiful. It's amazing. But before I start boasting, let me tell you about the other side of it. There's some other muscles that is not. I'm not a morning person. And so I get up at a certain time, but I time it to the brim. I lie there for the last 5 minutes, and in my head, I start doing the numbers. If I lie down for 3 more minutes, it should be 5 minutes for brushing my teeth and 3 minutes for this and whatever, and I work it out until I get to work just to make sure I can reach. Every minute counts for a person that's not a morning person. I get up before 7, but I only wake up at about 9 o'clock in the morning. All right? That's how bad it is. But the problem is, if you're a dad and if you're a husband, if you've got a full-time job, you've got other things going on in life. The minute that the sun comes up in the morning, There's other things that starts taking your capacity, your emotional capacity, and your time, and suddenly the day becomes very short. And so I've learned that basically the best time to spend with the Lord is in the mornings. But then you get there. It's not a strong muscle, it's a weak muscle, and it's like, Lord. And so that's a continuous journey for me, is to get up in the mornings and go and spend time with the Lord. It's not a muscle that is very weak, but I don't want to. But the kids, they call it a sick burn. I don't want to burn myself. A roast is the. I'm not going to roast myself, so I'm just going to give you that one bad muscle. I'm not going to tell you about the other ones. But it's going to differ as well. Sometimes a muscle is stronger in a season. Sometimes a muscle is weaker in a different season. It depends on personality. It depends on where you are in your life. It depends on your circumstances. And so there's going to be different things that's going to be more difficult at certain stages in your life. And I think it's important that you ask yourself, what is the Lord Jesus training me at the moment? What is the muscles that is already kind of strong and kind of going quite well? But what is the muscles that's not so strong and that actually needs a little bit more intention? And one of the areas that I felt the Lord highlight today and for this evening is the specific area of character. Now, who knows what character is? Who's the character? Character is who you are when nobody is looking. Now, he is an elder in the church. He's an elder in God's church. And so we see and we perceive and we spend some time with him, but we don't know who he is when he is alone in his room or when he is alone in here in his mind. But the Bible says that Jesus knows. And that's where character is. Character is not always, sometimes it is, but not always in the part that you can see. Mostly character is in the part that you can't see. It's what happens in here. It is what you are made of. Is what they say when you cut, what do you bleed? You know, what are the values that you bleed if they cut you? And so sometimes we can uphold certain values, we can live a certain life, we can radiate a personality to people, but only for a while. At some point, what is really inside, at some point will get the better of you and will come out at some point. Does it make sense? And that's character, it's what who you are inside. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, we go to that verse. He says, do not consider, the Lord says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And then he said, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's sometimes something that, especially for me, when I get to preach and when I get to minister, it's something that you get to see me from up here. And there's a certain perception that you get to create about who's Willem. He's a fun guy, he's this guy, he's that guy, he's 25 years old, whatever the perception is that you have of me. And that's a perception. But God knows who I am inside. And God says, the Bible says, what is much more important than what comes out of my mouth is the heart that it comes out of. And that will shine more. That will count more than anything that I do in that. And so God looks at character. And it's super important that we realize that. Andrew once had this story. I think it's in one of the This Is Church videos. I can't remember if it's on there. But he has got this story where he tells that he and MC, Andrew is the guy that started Josh Chenway, him and his wife MC. And so there was a season where they really struggled in their marriage. And most conversations ended up in a bit of a quarrel between the two of them. And Andrew at one stage got so frustrated and he screamed back at them. They were having a screaming match at one another. And Andrew said to MC, he said, you know what? You just bring out the worst in me. And as he said that, the Lord spoke to him and says, yes, Andrew, I gave you this wife. I gave you this lady in your life because she's the tool in my hand to bring out the worst in you. That is what God wants to do. When he talks about working our character and building in his character in us, what he wants to do is all of the gunk, all of the things that has shaped and formed us in our character, and that can be past experiences, the way that you grew up, someone that might have misformed you in a way through their interaction with your parents, your mother and father wounds, all kinds of different experiences form and shape our character as we break up. Even our sinful nature. Our sinful nature can, Marcus, like a democrat, would be our own fundamental. And so all of these things has a way, and Jesus wants to come, and he wants to bring out the worst in us. But for a lot of us, it's like leg day. It's not always as nice as doing a floor routine. Conditioning with the Lord is not always as fun as the rest might be. But are you willing, and I love that, and it came through in the prophetic words as well tonight, are you willing to walk a road with the Lord where it's not just the gifting, where it's not this, yes Lord, send me, not just those moments, not just the moments in worship where we get to worship Him and celebrate who Jesus is to us, but are we also ready and intentional when Jesus wants to come and say, hey, can we talk about something? Something that I saw in your life, is something that I want to reveal to you, is something that I want to heal in you. Are we ready for that? Because I don't think we are always, are we? If we're really honest with ourselves, and I think I've worked with a lot of, we were in this privileged position to lead a church for 5.5 years, and I think the thing that frustrated me the most of that time was seeing how people sometimes get scared when the Lord really starts working. And they almost run away sometimes. They will either resist the work of the Lord when it gets too close for comfort, when the Lord gets too close to my heart, they will resist, or they will sometimes run away. And that scared me the most, because you always felt sometimes with some people, you only had a small window to work with that person, because you don't know when they're going to run away. My question to you is, are you ready to walk this out with the Lord? Whenever, wherever He wants to do something in your character that He wants to work out. Are you ready for that? It's not a rhetorical question. Are you ready for that? Well, you know, I was not out. I was like, yeah. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians. He said, therefore, in order to keep you from becoming conceited. So Paul knew there was something in him that had the ability to become conceited, a little bit boastful, so Paul knew there was something in him that had to be kept in check. And Paul said, but listen Lord, I've got this. I know how to keep this thing in check in me. And that's why he said to the Lord, Lord, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, because I know how to deal with this thing. I know how to keep this thing in check, Lord, to take it away. And the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Because the Lord knew this is a weakness in Paul. And he said, I can't take this thing away. This is the way that I want to build into this area, into this piece of character that I know you're going to fail in. I can't take it away. Therefore, I will boast. And then Paul got it. I love this part. Then he snapped it and said, oh, okay, this is the Lord actually covering me. This is the Lord actually keeping me in a safe space. And he says this, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power might rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And there's sometimes when, and I think that's something that if the light bulb goes on, when the Lord wants to do something in us, when the Lord wants to change something in our character, He's not looking at us to say, change, change. No. It is actually the Lord coming, and He comes in beside us and alongside us. And He wants to change us. I had this picture this morning, and I thought it was for summers ago, but I know it's actually for tonight. Who knows higher in the Somerset West congregation? He's got this little boy, James. It's like a mini-me version of higher. It's beautiful. And this morning, James came up and he worshipped with higher in front. Higher was leading the meeting. And at some point, you could see that higher was struggling because James wanted to... But he was standing there, and at some point, he looked at his dad, and his dad was like, long gone in worship. And I looked at little James, and he started worshipping as well. And he made a noise, and then he turned around. And in that moment, The Lord just showed me this picture even with my own son. And it came out tonight in the prayer meeting, and it came up in hope. When the Lord wants to change our character, is he this taskmaster in your heart? Is he this lieutenant, this captain in the army that says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4? Or is he a dad that wants to stand with his child within? And I heard this voice of the Lord say these words. He says, "The apple falls far from the bloom of me. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree," is the English saying that. And that's what God's heart is for us. He wants to make the image of his son. He wants to imprint that on us. He wants to stand with us and with pride like a dad, stand with us and say, "My boy, the apple falls far from the bloom of me." And that's the heart of God when it comes to transforming our character. It's not changing us into the super soldier for him. It is changing us into a son and a daughter that he can stand next to and say, "This is my boy. This is my girl. Love her." And that's the heart of the Father. And Paul got that. Paul got that in that. I've got 20 minutes left. Is it okay? Can we push it to 40 minutes? Is it okay? I want to tell you about the last 6 months of my life, and this is where this preach came about. Maybe you can play the clip now quickly, because I'm going to play it more than once, but you can play it just quickly. This is how I was feeling 3 months into this journey of preparing this preach. It's from the David movie. I don't know who of you say it, but this is a song that is resounding in the Engelbrecht household over and over. Why, Lord? Every time I say to my boy, "Listen, Vian, it's time to go and brush your teeth." Why, Lord? Honestly, it's such a funny thing when he does that. So every time I give him a salt pack, why, Lord? But about 3 months into this process, and I'm going to tell you about it now, I was at a point where I said, "Why, Lord? Why have you forsaken me?" You know. And so let me get to the story and you'll understand a little bit better. I love running, jogging, hardcore. Yeah? Who is there any athletes amongst us? Please. There's another one. So there's more people that love running. I love running. And about 20 years ago, and this is where my age, and I just need to say, I am 45 years old. So when I say 20 years ago, I'm not 25. I'm not talking about when I was 5 years old. I know I look 25, thank you very much. But I'm actually, I don't look my age. And so when I say 20 years ago, it was in my 20s and late teens. And I used to do half marathons and even marathons. And man, I was naturally fit. I can put on tackies. I didn't have to carbo load. I didn't sweat when I trained. Really, it was like the people, the old puppies that I was training with and jogging with, they always said, "This is so unfair. Why are you looking the way that you..." But then, I mean, I was paper thin as well, so I didn't carry much to do that. But that was what I was used to. And then kids happened, family happened, work happened, and a lot of things happened. And for about 15 years, I didn't run at all. And then we came back to Somerset West. In December, I went and bought myself some new tackies. And this is going to be the great comeback. I was hearing Rocky music all over the place. Eye of the Tiger. Man, this is going to be the great comeback. And I put on my tackies. I said to Leone and the kids, "Listen, Daddy's going to go for a 40-mile run. See you in a few days." And I was out the front gate. And about 200 meters into the jog, something felt weird. I was running, but it wasn't the same. It was feeling different. My legs was heavy, which I've never felt before. It was like, what's going on here? It was like lead. I had no rhythm, you know. It was like, I felt like I was running like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, you know. I don't even want to know what the people thought when I was running. everything just felt out of place. My ankle started hurting after probably the first K. I thought, what on earth is going on with my ankles? And so I immediately realized, listen, something is different. 15 years have changed a lot. And I cut it short, and I went back home. I said to Leone, listen, I think this is just starting jitters, but I'm going to get this thing the next time. And I went back out again, I think it was a day or two. I thought, let me give myself a rest. Did a little bit of carbo loading. But anyway, I went out again. And it was a better run. It was a better run. I think I did about 4 or 5 Ks. I was out of breath. I was like, I'm totally unfit. And I realized, listen, there's truth in the rumor that after 40, everything starts turning for the worse. And so I did about a 4 or 5 K, and I was still okay that evening. But that next morning when I woke up, this right knee of mine, I couldn't step on it. It was as I was walking on it, it just gave way. And immediately my first thing is, oh my goodness, I've got some form of early onset, osteoporosis or something. Genuine. I jogged and my leg was just, and I went, I rested up a bit and the knee got better. And I went again, just a short run, 5Ks, and again, my knee was just shot. I couldn't step on it. I went for x-rays immediately. I went for the kill. You know, I went for x-rays. I went and saw Dr. Hardcastle, which is a specialist in Somerset West. And he looked at me, and I felt so stupid. He looked at me. I mean, going to a specialist anyway. And I went to him, and I said, Doctor, please help me. I think I've got some form of osteoporosis or something. I said to even it runs in the family. My grandma's got this. Because it's impossible. Willem can't be unfit. I can't be old. It's impossible. And I said to the doctor, please help me. And he checked me out. He looked at the x-rays that I took. And he said, listen, Mr. Engelbrecht, I'm sorry to say this, but you've got runner's knee. I said, what? Is it Willem's knee or what is it? Is it something that you get from the Congo or what is it? She said, no, it's just normal runner's knee. It's very normal. It comes up from time to time. You've got runner's knee. And I was so disgusted. I felt so ashamed. I just signed the paperwork. I paid the money and I was out there never to return again. And he gave me a number of a physio and everything, but I went to my wife. I said to her, listen, I'm not even going to a physio. I feel completely stupid already. I'm just going to Google it. And Google told me the solution, your problem is your glutes. Who knows what your glutes are? Your bum muscles. Right? Your boulder. So I didn't know this. Because I never struggled with these things before, so for me it was completely new. But apparently, running comes from this area here, your middle, your hips, and your glutes, your bums. And so that is the thing that takes the shock away from your knees. And so, and now I googled how to fix your glutes, and I was thinking maybe a rope pulley or a blow pulley or whatever, something like that. I was going to be okay with that. No, Google said, I have to do Pilates. And I said, no, it's impossible. My wife does Pilates. I'm not going to do Pilates. And my mother does Pilates. It's a woman's thing. I don't do Pilates. It's a hickey. You do stretches. And so, I said, no. And reluctantly, I got the only to get me a Pilates exercise. And I remember that first evening, I was knowing better. I was like, Paul. I said, no, Lord, this is not the way to fix this thing. There has to be something I have to go to a gym and do, you know, proper training to get these things ready and all of that, and that's a Pilates. But I reluctantly I did it, and after, I think I did about 2 sessions, and I jogged again. And it was better, and I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And I did some more Pilates, and the knee was ready. And I think, oh my goodness, problem solved. This is a learning curve for me, but the Lord wasn't finished. I went, now I'm back to more boastful, but now I'm the jogger again. This is the comeback. I've sorted out the knee, osteoporosis is gone, and all of that. And I hit the road again. And this time I went for a long one. I did a 10K. And man, in my hair I was going for a 10K. And about after 4Ks, but the Lord was wanting to teach me a lesson. And about after 4Ks, my left knee. Honestly, the left knee. I had this burning sensation at the side of my knee. And this time I knew what it was because I had other people have it, not me. But it's ITB. And again, what's the solution for ITB? Your boda, your glutes again. And that's when, you can play the song again now. That's at that point, I was like, Lord, why, Lord? What are you doing to me, Lord? And that, sometimes that's where we are. Sometimes the Lord wants to teach us something. The Lord wants to work something in our character. The Lord wants to go places. And He wants to do it in His way. And then we get frustrated and we get to a place where, like David in that song, he's like, why, God? Why do you want to do it in this way? Why does it... go on like that forever. But the Lord wanted to teach me something deeper. And as I was running and struggling with these knees that I never knew was going to be a problem ever, as I was running, I heard the Lord say so clearly to me, don't skip leg day. Because I'm the personality, I love to run for the Lord. I love to be significant for the Lord. I love to mean something for the Lord in His kingdom. I love to do things for the Lord. As I said earlier, I love preaching. I love when the prophetic flows. That's the area of church that I love the most. But the Lord came to me and He said, don't skip leg day. Sometimes we don't want to do the hard yard. Sometimes there's some exercises that we look at and we look at that and we say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. There's more exciting things for me in the kingdom. And we heard this earlier, through the prophetic, that in this room, there's so much calling in this room. There's so much calling. There's so much in the Lord in this room. So much gifting in this room. All the gifts of the Spirit is in this room right now, right here. And so much calling. But it's almost as if I feel to say, if our focus is going to be solely on that, a lot of us won't make it to the end, as Paul said. A lot of us might trip up and stumble along the way. And I always feel as if the Lord says, don't go any further until you haven't made it out in your heart to say, Lord, as much as I'm intentional about the gifts and going and doing and serving and all of these things, as much as I'm ready for that, I'm just as ready for you, Lord Jesus, to work something in my heart than in my life. Is that good? Is it great? This is the last page. The problem is that gifting, and sometimes even things like fellowship, and I'm saying it with a pinch of salt, so please don't make this a teaching type of thing. But there are some things in our walk with the Lord that is amazing. And it has a way of just encouraging us and building us up like no other thing, like the gifts and all of that. But there's one area where all of those things fall away. There's one time when all of those things sometimes is not enough to bring us through. And that is sometimes when trials and tribulations come. It's sometimes when life really happens. It's sometimes when we struggle and our sin or our sinful nature catches up with us. And we do some things in our life that we thought we would never do. And it is those times when the character that God has worked in us is the thing that's going to pull us through. And I felt such a necessity in my heart for this evening to say, be ready for when the Lord wants to work those muscles that sometimes I don't want to go to. Be ready for when the Lord sometimes wants to touch on areas that you might not be ready for. But where the Lord says, listen, if I don't do this now, if we don't go to this place right now, it might be more difficult for you in future. It might, I don't know, whatever can happen from there. Because there's a scripture in Matthew 7, this is what I'm basing this on. Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And in this room, there's going to be a lot of stories about demons being driven out and prophecies. It's going to be absolutely amazing, the stories that's going to come from this room and from your life and from my life. But the most important story that we can tell is the fact that we lived so close to Jesus, and he knew me so intimately and so closely, and I knew him so intimately and so closely, that Jesus could at any point in time, in any time of the day, whether I be high or low, whatever is going on in my life, Jesus had the room and the space to do something in my life and to work muscles in my life, even if I wanted to or not. And even if I'm ready or not. And so, yeah. I felt, yeah, I don't know if I was in worship earlier, and look, worship song that we sang about, may we never lose the wonder, it just spoke so much to me. And I felt that if there's one thing that the Lord wanted to do tonight, if there's a response, it is a response of seeing the beauty of Jesus tonight, the character of Jesus tonight, who he is, not the things that as much that he does, not the things and the miracles that he did and the fact that he heals, but who he is. And then knowing, walking out from this place, knowing that Jesus' greatest desire for us is to transform us. And that's the very same character that he has, the very same person that Jesus has, that he wants us to have that for ourselves. And to intimately, relationally, as sons and daughters, walk a road with him, together with all of the ministry stuff, together with all of the other things, together with gifts, with that, but primarily be at a place where we can look to Jesus and say, Jesus, change me to look like your son, because I've seen something in your son, Jesus. I've seen the beauty of who he is. And everything in me is ready that he can change me so that I can look like he looks like. Is that good?